Going Linux, episode 466. Using Linux to get things done in work and school. Office suites.
Get your tech on, it's time to roll. Plug your cords in and take control. Say goodbye to the old routine. Linux is here, it's the future machine. No virus.
Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Bill.
Whether you are new to Linux, upgrading from Windows to Linux, or just thinking about moving to Linux, this podcast will provide you with valuable information and advice that will help you in Going Linux.
We hope that you find this and all our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and open source applications and using them to get things done.
If you want to send us feedback, email us at goinglinux@gmail.com or make a call to our voicemail line, 1-904-468-7889.
In today's episode, using Linux to get things done in school and work, office suites.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Larry. How are you today?
I am doing just fine. I know it may seem like there's a lot of gap between our episodes these days. There's a lot of life interfering, but we're still going. We're still plugging away, and we will continue to have episodes going forward for as long as we can. And that really means as long as we're healthy and able to record.
Yeah, that healthy and able to record has been a challenge.
Exactly.
So we're just, you know, I think I've been sick more this winter just from all the viruses and colds and, yeah, so, yeah, I'm so over it.
Well, spring is almost here and the warmer weather will be here very shortly, for us at least.
Yeah, it's, I'm excited to see a little warmer weather. So, yeah, it's time for some warmth. It's not been bad. It was really, really cold about a month ago, and there's a lot of people sick. But I think we're kind of over that hump. But I got some things to acknowledge, Larry.
Okay. This sounds so ominous.
Yes, it's ominous. So I didn't make it very far with MX Linux. I was looking at it and said, well, this is, it's new user friendly, but why the flagship is XFCE, and there's nothing wrong with it, but it's not modern looking. And if someone's coming from Windows or Mac OS, it's a little bit limited. So I wanted to, I didn't think that was a good fit, and so I went and looked through all my stuff, and I put Zorin on it on my computer, and
okay,
it has been running perfectly. I've run it; it's been running a couple months now, I think, maybe a little bit more, a little less, but anyway, it's running great. I'm going to run this one. That's the reasons behind it. I just I want something that's approachable in, you know, Ubuntu Mate or Linux Mint or Zorin OS or regular stock Ubuntu or Ubuntu Cinnamon, whatever. It seems like the Ubuntu family is, and their variants, whether it be a separate project or one of the flavors, is the best way to go as far as software availability. And I mean, for instance, Zorin uses, I can use Flatpaks, Snaps, or just the app, the dev packages. So it's kind of I can pretty much get anything I want. You know, you can pretty much do that with the others, but there's some that, you know, you might not be able to find a program in a Flatpak or in the repositories, but it's available in the Snaps. So I'm all about using what I can get things to get things done.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. I've been kind of getting the itch to maybe switch to something else as well, but I haven't found anything that's not an Ubuntu derivative that I would want to use. The only thing that came close was OpenSUSE.
Yeah.
And I was looking at some of the reviews that some other people have of OpenSUSE, and it is, as I remember it from years ago when I used it, it is very powerful, very solid, very...
green.
Yeah, very green. Yes. However, it is quite complex to use, even for somebody who knows how to use other distributions. It is unique in its own way of handling things. It has its own installer for applications that works differently than other installers. It's the kind of distribution where you have to know something about how OpenSUSE works in order to make it work for you.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is there are certain repositories that you really need if you want to get things like media codecs and things like that. And there are certain applications that most users would say should be installed by default, but they're not. And so you need to know that you need to go and do that. So it's the kind of distribution that you have to be engaged with the community, and you have to read the documentation in order to use, whereas most of the Ubuntu derivatives you can use right out of the box, and if you do nothing to them, they're quite usable, and they give you most, if not all, of what you need,
yeah,
depending on your applications, which is the thing that we're after here on the Going Linux podcast, is finding something that makes it easy for somebody to switch to Linux. And at this point, it's Ubuntu derivatives.
Yeah, and so I kind of agree. We just want to use things to get things done.
That would make a good tagline, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's kind of familiar. I don't know where I've heard that before. As I've gotten, you know, where I used Linux just for more than just gaming and stuff, you know, writing reports and stuff, I find that I just want tools that will work.
Yep.
And,
me too.
Now that I figured out why I was having problems with snaps, I'm not having it. I had a issue. There was like an outdated version of the Snapd.
Really?
And I don't know why it wasn't upgraded. You know, there's an error I was digging through trying to figure out. But as soon as I went to the Zorin and updated, I saw that it had updated to Snapd like 3 or 4 times. I'm like, huh, mm-hmm, that's interesting. And I haven't had any issues. So now I have the snap of a couple of the Office suites that I was testing out, and it worked just fine. Speeds impressive. So I think that was just a glitch or something in mine. I don't know. So I'm using whatever works.
Yeah, exactly. And interestingly, I haven't had that problem with snaps, but there was an application just last week, and I don't remember which one it was. It was giving me problems, and it had been rock solid up until that point. And there was nothing in the application updater that said that it needed to be updated. But I thought, well, there's obviously something wrong. Let me try uninstalling it and reinstalling it, and that fixed it. So something got corrupted in the version that I was using, or in the configuration file that I was using, or something. I wish I remember which application it was, but I don't. So it's fixed, and I've put it behind me. You know how that goes, right?
Okay. So one last disclaimer. And
okay.
Hopefully everybody will not shut the podcast off instantly when they hear this. So after writing the episode, I used GTP for all. It's available in the Flatpak, and used DeepSeek to clean up my work, make it easier to understand. So I had written it all out, and then I said, hey, could you make this sound better, or can you look at this and see if this is clear? And it actually made a few very useful suggestions. So I'm kind of using it like a Grammarly, but local.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so it didn't write any of it. It just cleaned up it. One of them said, hey, you know, you've actually used this phrase 3 times in this paragraph, probably a little bit of an overkill. Try it, look at it this way. And then what I would do is I'd take it, and it wouldn't exactly give me what I wanted, but I could see what it was trying to do. And then I would open it up in OnlyOffice or LibreOffice, which is the one I had open, and then I would clean it up even more and change things because, it kind of offered some generic suggestions, and I'm like, I like it better this way. So it was kind of like I wrote it. Here's some suggestions, and I took its suggestions, went back. So it was like a working collaboratively with it to come up with something that was better than what I had originally wrote. And so I was very, very impressed. And it's all done locally. And so and you can use a Flatpak. So I wanted everybody to know that, it wasn't written by AI, but it definitely AI helped clean it up and make it sound better and made it more clear, because I was trying to explain some stuff and I was like, yeah, that doesn't come across very well. Hey, and I was like, hey, DeepSeek, can you make this sound a little better for me?
Yeah. So,
it was a collaborative effort. I was very impressed with it. And what I liked about it is it's running natively on Linux. It's not sending all my data to whoever. And I have complete control. I'm using it as a tool to make things sound look better. And I would be interested to see what people feel about that. Do you think it's cheating? Do you think it's... are you uncomfortable with that? Let me know. Let me know if you've tried that and seen it, and give me your feelings on it, because we welcome feedback.
Yeah, I think I'm going to reserve my comments until after we hear from our minions, our audience, our folks listening to the show, and hear what they have to say. I have some opinions.
I just wanted to be transparent. We definitely do not want to, it's like you listen to it and says, wow, that really sounds good. It's like, or it really sounds bad, or et cetera. It's because I used, an AI tool to make my work sound better. And again, I come up with all the ideas. I wrote the rough draft. I still have them if anybody wants to see it. It's not as pretty as this. And then I used open source tools to edit the results back into where more of what I wanted to say. It's nice when it checks spelling and grammar.
Yeah. Well, and of course, we're not including a written transcript of what we're talking about here. So the spelling and grammar won't show up for our listeners. However, it does show up for us when we're reading. And so that helps a lot. It helps a lot.
Let us know what you feel.
There you go. Yeah, so just a couple more things before we get started into the episode itself. We have a number of links, as always, to the applications that we're talking about. The applications, for the most part, are either online applications, in other words, browser-based, or are installable onto Linux, and we're providing the links so that you can go to the developer's website and see what they say about their application. When you go to install it, check to see if there's a Debian package, an RPM package, a Flatpak, a Snap, whatever your distribution uses to install it. That's the way you want to install it. So the links aren't to go there and download their installer, unless it's not available in the repositories, but it's there for you to go and see what it's about. That's point number one. And point number two is one of the links is to an article that we've provided on our website about four ways to use Office applications on Linux. And it discusses some of those ways to install and or use online Office suites. And it includes many of what we're going to talk about here.
Yes. I want to give an example real quick of what Larry just said. LibreOffice in the repository was using an older version. So I went to FlatHub where you can look up applications, and the Flatpak had the brand new current version. So of course I installed that and took the old one off that was in the repositories. And what's nice about the Flatpaks or snaps is that everything's contained, but they also theoretically are supposed to keep them up to date. And that was just an example of LibreOffice, and it was a newer version. It had some new tools and stuff. So there are benefits to those universal packagings, the snaps and Flatpaks. But anyway, so we've already went over that we're going to be covering the Office suites that you can use on Linux. So let's start with the Office focused software. So Larry, I'm going to let you start with the first one.
Okay, LibreOffice is the first one. And reading what you wrote and the AI clarified, LibreOffice is a comprehensive Office suite designed for both professional and educational use. It includes several applications that serve as counterparts to popular Microsoft Office tools. Writer is similar in format to Microsoft Word, used for creating documents. Calc functions like Excel, handling spreadsheets and data analysis. Impress, like PowerPoint, used for presentations. Draw, for creative diagrams or vector graphics. Notice that it doesn't say anything about the comparable Microsoft version of that, because it's not included in Microsoft Office.
It doesn't have one, I don't
right.
think.
Nope, not as part of the Office suite by default. Base, database management software. Math, tools for mathematical equations and formulas. Charts, used for generating various types of charts. LibreOffice supports Open Document Format, ODF. It is available by default on most Linux distributions through their package managers and can also be installed via Flatpak or Snap. LibreOffice offers a robust set of tools for document creation, data analysis, presentations, and database management with good compatibility across various Microsoft Office formats. And just a couple of points before we discuss it in a little bit more detail. The draw, base, math, and charts, although charts you might argue is part of Excel, for the most part, those are not included in Microsoft Office by default.
And really?
Yeah. Without adding something. When I say Microsoft Office, I'm thinking about the installed version.
Okay.
And the online version may have some of those that they've added, but there are also some features missing from that online version, I've noticed. I'm using it for work, the online version of Microsoft Office, which we'll get into in just a few minutes.
Yeah.
But LibreOffice does provide more application functionality than those available from Microsoft. And one other point, your write-up says that LibreOffice supports the Open Document Format, ODF. Bear in mind that Microsoft has its own proprietary Open Document Format. That may seem counterintuitive to say it's a proprietary open format, because that doesn't make sense. It's an oxymoron, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's either proprietary or it's open. So they call their open document format open, but it's the Microsoft open document format, which is proprietary. Hopefully that doesn't confuse people.
It's all about the details.
Yes, exactly. That's my discussion of LibreOffice so far.
So I just wanted a few other things that I had mentioned about using the Flatpak version. So the current version, should you want to get it, it's 25.2, and that's as of this recording. And like I said, it looks nice and it's fast. They give you choices on how you want the interface to look, so you can change it to the ribbon if you're used to that or some other formats. So I would say it's a solid choice for some everybody's basic needs. Would you kind of agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And for most Ubuntu derivatives, it's included by default.
Mm-hmm.
So you already have it when you install Linux on your computer. If you've installed an Ubuntu derivative. And for many other Linux distributions not derived from Ubuntu or Debian, it's included by default there as well.
Okay. So you might be saying, hey, I don't really like LibreOffice look or the way it works, or it's not quite what I'm looking for. The nice part about Linux is you've got options. So the next one we're going to talk about is WPS Office. It is not open source, but is free to use for Linux users. It looks very much like Microsoft's offering, and some people might prefer the way it looks and runs. They claim on the website that it's compatible with MS Office. And so the applications that make up the following Office suite is WPS Writer, which is word processor, a WPS Spreadsheet, and the WPS presentation is presentations. I think that would be more like what's the
PowerPoint?
PowerPoint, yeah, it's called PowerPoint. Yeah. And then WPS PDF, it's a PDF viewer and converter. And WPS looks very nice. And just remember, it is not open source, but it's free to use. So some people might have an issue with this because of the way the license is written. But have no fear. Larry might have one that we're going to talk about in just a minute that you will like. The one thing I have WPA Office on my computer, but I used it for the PDF, because I had a PDF, and if PDFs are my bane of my existence, because it always seems like I have to deal with them. And yeah. Until I found WP Office, I struggled with just converting it to where I can use it, or viewing it without Adobe coming and saying, you need to pay us money to look at this, or you need to pay us money to do this. I won't even go through how much pain and heartache PDFs calls to me, but every time I see the word or acronym PDF, I just start shaking and I want to go get in the corner and cry. So yeah, not my favorite. But anyway, what do you think?
Yeah, this is the first of the Office suites that we've talked about so far that includes something to do with PDFs. Now, Linux itself provides you with the ability to create PDFs through a pseudo printer, if you will. So you may have noticed that when you go to print something, one of the things that's a choice for you is to create a PDF or save it as a PDF. So you don't need anything in an Office suite to actually create a PDF if you are running Linux. This, however, WPS Office allows you to view them and convert them. So it doesn't allow you to edit them, but it does allow you to convert them into other formats so that you can take the content of your PDF document and you can copy paste it cleanly into something else or convert it to something else. So it just makes that little feature a little bit better. And as we move through some of the other open source Office suites, we will be talking about PDFs in a little more detail. So I like WPS Office, but I like the next one a little bit better. And in addition to LibreOffice, I use the next one myself, and it's called OnlyOffice. There are some things I don't like about it, but let's read your write-up on it first. The suite includes four main applications: document editing, spreadsheet editing, presentation editing, and PDF editing. It's released under the AGPL 3 license, and we'll have a link in the show notes for details on that license if you're interested. So it is open source. OnlyOffice is built with a sleek interface that aligns well with today's needs. It seamlessly supports Office OpenXML formats, including .docx, .xlsx, and .pptx. That Office OpenXML format is, in fact, Microsoft's Office format.
Between LibreOffice and WPS Office, I apparently have a problem with Office suites because I like different ones for different things. But OnlyOffice is one that I use very regularly. And so some of the things that I like, it's a simpler design. The interface has fewer elements, so it's less cluttered. And compared to some of the other Office suites like Microsoft or Google products, it just feels cleaner. I find that the navigation is easier. Its streamlined design reduces and makes it easier to focus on work without getting overwhelmed, you know, so it's not making my brain hurt just trying to figure out how to use it. More focus. It has, in my opinion, feature-rich options that lets me work on what I want in a focused manner without unnecessary complexity. It's designed to be straightforward and efficient, and sometimes when you just want to get out there and get something sent or something written, it's straightforward and efficient is the way to go, especially when you get old like me. And I just find it easier to use. The clean interface just makes it easier to navigate, making it, I think it's make it ideal for both experienced and newcomers that are just seeking to, you know, to get things done with, you know, just get it done efficiently and move on with our lives. So that's the main things I like about OnlyOffice, but I'll hand it back to Larry. What do you think, Larry?
Yeah, OnlyOffice, I think, is one of the best in terms of compatibility with Microsoft Office. I agree with your assessment that it's easier to use. It is a simpler design than some of the other Office suites. But the thing that makes it most valuable to me is the compatibility with Microsoft Office, because for work, we use Microsoft Office, and keeping things compatible is really important. So with that in mind, I've mentioned this on previous episodes. One of the things I've noticed, particularly with Excel, is if you are using OpenOffice, for example, or LibreOffice, when you save in .xls or .xlsx format, and you're using formulas in your spreadsheet, particularly formulas that manipulate text. In other words, you're trying to format the text in a specific way and then put that into a cell in the spreadsheet. OpenOffice and LibreOffice tend to modify the Excel formulas in a way that makes them work better with those applications and tends to break in Excel. However, when I do the same thing in OnlyOffice, in other words, have a formula that manipulates text, it uses exactly the same formula as is done in the Office XML formats. When I save them with the .xlsx file extension. So that's important when I save them in that format. Other things happen when you try to save them in just the older .xls format, but when you use the OpenXML format, it works just fine. So that's one of the main reasons I like using it. The other main reasons are around ease of use and ease of navigation, easy to understand. One of the things I don't like about it is when you install it, it doesn't install individual applications for word processor or presentations or spreadsheets. It installs an application called OnlyOffice, and you have to go in there to go to the applications that you want to use or the sub-applications that you want to use. Maybe a minor inconvenience, and some people may even find that as a convenience. It keeps your menus a little cleaner. You don't have as many things in there around Office. However, I have found a way to add the individual applications to my menus. And the main way I was able to do that is to try to discover what the actual name of the application is for OnlyOffice. They call their applications desktop editors, by the way. And
that's kind of weird.
It does seem a little bit strange that they would do that. And if you can figure out what the name of their editor is, you can figure out what it is you need to add as a launcher to your menu to make it work. And I'm trying to find an example here, so give me a second.
So while Larry is doing that, how I handled it is I just pinned the OnlyOffice icon to my taskbar, and so it's just easy to hit it and just open up and pick. But it is an extra step, and it really doesn't bother me one way or another. I know everything. I can find everything right there. So sometimes it's just how different people's workflows run, or how the or in my case, how my brain doesn't work or does work. So I find it all in one little program where I just open it and go to what I want to do is kind of nice. I like it that way, but Larry likes a different way, but it's nice that you can change it how you want.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, with Linux, you have the flexibility to do things the way you want to do them. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the examples of allowing you to use the software the way you want, not the way that it wants you to use it, right?
Right.
So the application names, apparently the OnlyOffice editor for word processors is called Word. The one for PowerPoint is called PowerPoint. I'm not sure how they're getting away with that. But the name for the spreadsheet application is called Cell, C-E-L-L. That's the one that threw
okay.
me. I could not find, you know, when I was trying to guess what it was, I looked at Sheet, I looked at Spreadsheet, I looked at all kinds of things. And then finally, I found somewhere in the documentation that it was called Cell. So if you're interested in how to make that work, I'm not going to belabor it any further. drop me a note in email or however you want to do it and ask me how to make the individual launchers in your Linux main menu, and I can include those in a future episode for you.
So, do you think they could come up with something a little, you know, Cell? Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
Think of...
Well, hey, I think they were stretching.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. So here's one that... the next one we're going to talk about, here's one that I actually just used the other day. And I find that I use this one more and more just because I don't know. It just seems to work well for what I wanted to do. But it's called Caligra. Yeah, and you, probably most people have heard of that. But what's really cool is it was created by KDE. I did not know that. I had used it before. And it's open source and available through Flatpak, and you know, which is the and I downloaded it from the package manager, and I think it's still in most available in most Linux systems as just a regular you know, in the repositories. But I got it from Flatpak because I wanted the latest one. But it is, you know, we've been talking about the open source, and so what does open source mean? And that was kind of a big thing with the on the Caligra website. So I wanted to go over it real quick. It just means that software is freely available for anyone to use, modify, and share without needing to pay licensing fees or adhere strictly to proprietary formats. So that's the Cliff Notes version of open an open source program like Caligra is using, and it's released under the GPL. And so you can do all sorts of things with it if you know how to code and if you want, or you can just use it the way you get it in the. But it's nice that you can actually see what it's doing. If you wanted to go look at the code, you could. So to get started, you need to have a Linux distribution that supports Flatpak since it's designed for that environment. Or a lot of times you can get it, if you're running KDE, you can get it right in the repository. It's usually either installed by default or you can do, it's an optional download. The suite includes several applications and they're tailored for different tasks. So, Larry, here are some original ones. Let's see if you can figure this one out. So, Words, for creating rich documents filled with images and tables. Word processor. Okay. Pretty good. Now, this one I like. It's called Stage, to build presentations using various elements like photos and videos. It's PowerPoint. Sheets, for spreadsheets with formulas and charts. It's Excel. Now, here's some interesting ones that are not usually included with Microsoft Office or some even some of the other things we talked about. It's Carbon, spelled with a K, a tool to create clip art, logos, illustrations, and even photorealistic vector images. So that's part of it. And then Kexi, it's K-E-X-I. They got that keg thing going on now. For software, it's for creating databases. So apparently that's included. And then Plan, a great application for effective project planning. So if you got a project and you need to plan, I guess like you could use that at work. If you got, you're doing something, it would help you plan the project to be more efficient. And so it's really, it's kind of got some things that others don't have. And I was just I would have thought that it wasn't be as up to date, but it is, and it's actively developed. And one of the things I really like about Caligra is how fast it runs, and it's enjoyable to use. Plus, downloading via the Flatpak was surprisingly small, because you know Flatpak has everything involved, you know, that you need to run inside of it, like a snap, or so you don't have to download anything else. And it was only 136 megabytes, so that's tiny.
Wow!
For all that, and so, so if you have limited disk space, this wouldn't and shouldn't be a problem. You know, if you have a if you're repurposing an older computer with a smaller hard drive, or you don't have a lot of space, but you need something that can do some of these, this might be your lightweight go-to office suite.
Yeah, absolutely. And fast and lightweight are not some things that traditionally I have associated with KDE applications. So I yeah, do. No, that's yeah. that's really key.
I forgot to mention one thing. Calegra, it's if you're just using it to write stuff for yourself, it's a lot of it supports almost exclusively the open formats. So anytime I was writing something in it, it wants to default to saving in open source formats. So
all right.
I've tried saving it as like a docx file, and I had issues. So I just want to let everybody know, Calegra is it doesn't play as well with proprietary formats in saving documents. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah, and interestingly, in the list of compatible formats that it will save, word processor documents, they list Lotus Symphony.
Golly.
Yeah, I haven't heard that in a long time. It was a the spreadsheet application Lotus 1-2-3. That company used the OpenOffice format and forked it for themselves, yeah, and made it Lotus Symphony. And yeah, it's I thought it was long dead, but apparently not.
Well, if you need to save it or open it, it supports it.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, and I haven't used Calegra. I looked at Kexi as a standalone application for some reason long time ago.
Uh-huh.
So I had heard that, but Carbon I hadn't heard about. So this is all new to me, except for those things. Interesting stuff. Learn something new on this show every time, right?
Yeah. Well, I do think they did. They got at least one of those applications' names right. That when you think about it, stage, you know, build presentation. If you say I'm going to open the stage, I had to actually understand what you're saying. So, anyway, if you have chosen to run Linux, I hope that the software that we've went over and is listed in our show notes will cover your needs. So gone are the days of having to run a proprietary operating system to get the work that you need done to get things accomplished at work and school. The nice thing about this is they're all free to try. And you can use it, and hopefully you can find one that fits your needs. So Linux has always been about choice, and we're hoping that the ones that we've talked about today would maybe fill in some gaps, especially if you're new to Linux and you know you're just trying to get schoolwork or even work done. I hope this is helpful. But we're not done just yet. We're going to give you the another one that you might not think about, but Larry, I'm going to let you take this one.
Okay, this one might take a while because there's so many turns and twists and things in this one.
Yeah.
So Microsoft provides another resource called Microsoft 365 Free Online, which can be particularly useful in specific scenarios. Use cases, if you encounter situations where spreadsheet or word processing tasks exceed what other software tools can handle, consider using Microsoft 365. Right. Yeah. That sounds like marketing speak.
Yeah, yeah.
Browser compatibility. No download is required. It works seamlessly through your browser and is compatible with popular browsers like Chrome and Firefox. Access requirements. You will need a Microsoft account to access a service, but Windows is not a prerequisite for its functionality. So, here come the twists and turns. We've got some links as to how you can get the free Microsoft 365. But Microsoft 365 used to be called Office 365. And before that, it was called Microsoft Office. So when you go online, you can type into your browser office.com or Microsoft365.com or m365.cloud.microsoft, and they will all take you to the same place.
I'm sorry. Three different names for the same sir. Okay.
Exactly.
I didn't
They're
know
trying
that.
To make sure that no matter what your history with Microsoft is, you will go to what they want you to go to.
Okay.
Okay. And when you do that, you can get documents and presentations and workbooks. Workbooks? That's Excel. So they're changing the name of Excel to workbook?
It's getting more confusing by the moment.
Yeah. And then forms and quiz. They have a quiz application and list. Design and video. So they've added a whole bunch of online applications, including what's their note-taking application? There's a
Notes.
They're calling it Notebook OneNote.
OneNote.
Yes. Okay. So if you do a search for Microsoft 365 free online, you may end up with a list of possible things you can click on. Depending on what you click on, the description of what Microsoft 365 varies. So let's start with a couple of these. So I clicked on a link that said, what's the difference between a paid Microsoft 365 subscription and the free web apps? By the way, these are all on the Microsoft site. All of these with different descriptions. So this one says, if you signed into Microsoft365.com with your Microsoft account and you see a free or subscribe badge, you may wonder what that means. Free means that you get 15 gigabytes of storage online for any documents you have. And it continues here that a free badge means an active Microsoft 365 family or personal subscription isn't associated with your account that you signed in with. So, in fact, that is the free version. Now, the subscribed badge means a Microsoft 365 subscription, such as Microsoft 365 family or personal, is already associated with your account, and you can access many of the subscription benefits, including installing the desktop applications. If you don't already have Microsoft 365 or you're looking for product details and prices, they provide a link for you to buy Microsoft 365. So, and then they talk about the comparison and other subscription plans. Okay. So now, here on the link that I found for free Office Online for the web, they talk about the applications themselves and allow you to discover free Microsoft Online. They provide you with some benefits of the free version: web and mobile applications, 5 gigabytes of cloud storage. Didn't we just say that there were 15 gigabytes of cloud storage?
You are talking about Microsoft.
Yes, yes. So it's 5 gigabytes of free storage and access across devices. And they give you a bunch of other stuff and a QR code. Okay. So then if you go to compare all Microsoft 365 products, the only thing that they allow you to compare here are the paid versions. So they have Microsoft for Business. Let's just dispense with that. We're talking about for home here. And they give you the paid by the month subscription of $12.99 a month for Microsoft 365 family or $9.99 a month for the Microsoft 365 personal. The family gives you 6 terabytes of cloud storage, 1 per person. And the personal gives you 1 terabyte of cloud storage. If you pay them yearly, the family plan goes to 120, comes down to $129.99 a year, $130 a year, and the personal plan is $100 a year. So they're, trying to get you to sign up for their subscription, which, of course, you have to pay on a monthly or a yearly basis, depending on which one you subscribe to. Do I have any other strange examples? No, those are the only links that I clicked on because I got bored after a while trying to figure all this stuff out. So bottom line is, if you still want to use Microsoft's Office programs on your Linux computer, you can do that either for free on a limited basis. And one thing that I forgot to mention is that when you look at the one of those pages that I talked about, they emphasize that the free version is a trial. What that means, I don't know. It doesn't mention anything about expiring or anything like that, but it says try Word, Excel, and PowerPoint for free. Try is the operative word there. So bottom line is, you can still use Microsoft's Office products on Linux if you so desire, and you can use that free version if you're willing to deal with the limitations, and I'm assuming they're ad-supported as well. Or you can sign up and pay them on a monthly basis now for that Office application that you may want to use online or install on your computer. You can do it either way, except that I don't think Microsoft Office can be installed on Linux directly. So you have to use the online version if you're trying to use it on Linux. So don't be fooled. And try not to fall into the trap that I did and try to figure out what they're actually trying to tell you by free. It's a mess.
So I have a few things. First, mm-hmm. I think we need to just take all their websites and run it through an AI and say, please summarize this so we can understand it. But the whole idea behind it is they want a software as a service. They want you to continually yes. pay to use their service. Since their operating system and services use their proprietary code and programs, they feel that they should be paid all the time. You have no rights. You're licensing it. You have no rights to do what you want with it. And if you look through their license agreement, it is pretty complete. They pretty much tell you exactly what you're allowed to do, where you're allowed to put it, on how many computers, etc., etc. The whole thing behind is they want you. Why a lot of this stuff is they don't want it to be 100% compatible with other software suites is because they want you to come and pay them to. They'll give stuff away to get you hooked to use it, then you'll give them money. So their operating system, Windows 11, has ads built in. So this is also going to be ad-supported. And it's always, surprise, surprise, Larry, Microsoft products.
Mm-hmm. So amazing.
Yeah, it's a classic bait and switch. Yes, you can use it. And the only reason I put it on there is in this episode was to say there is an option. We're not recommending the option. But then again, we've always said use the tool to get things done that you want. And that's kind of our mantra. We just want to get our stuff done. And sometimes you have something that needs lots of different formulas that OpenOffice can't handle. You might need to look at it going on for 365. The one thing I do want to point out is the web versions of these are extremely limited and they don't have all the features. Thus, they know what features the people want and they'll intentionally withhold them. Microsoft wants to be a services company. They don't want to be software company. They want to sell you the service. And so I'm just pointing that out. Don't be fooled. Use it if you got to, but there are a lot of other options out there, and we're hoping that one of these will work for you. Nothing's perfect, but you know, choices are good.
Yeah, and if you're moving from Windows to Linux and you absolutely don't want to mess around with switching from your Microsoft Office product, this is an option for you. Once you have an account with Microsoft, our article on four ways to use Office apps on Linux will give you a way to create a launcher for Word, Excel, and PowerPoint on your Linux main menu. And it'll take you to the web version. And if you have either a subscription or you're planning on using the free version, you can do that. But I would encourage you to try what comes on Linux or in the Linux repositories as an alternative and give that a chance.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why we recorded this episode, is to give you some of what the options are. So with that, I think unless we have some more to talk about, I think we're at a point we can wrap up.
Well, almost.
Oh, okay.
I just want to say we are interested in your feedback on what you, if you found any of this information or suggestions that will help you. Let us know in by an email or a voicemail, and tell us about it. And if we forgot something, tell us about it, because we will look at it. But I have an application pick, and it's what we had talked about. It's the GPT-4all, and like I said, it lets you play with the AI LLMs, and you might say locally on your machine through you can get it in Flatpak. And it says, so I love all these acronyms. So let's just real quick, an LLM is an advanced type of artificial intelligence model designed to understand and generate human language effectively. And so it's just a basic breakdown. It helps in understanding human language. How I used it is to actually understand what the heck I wrote, so other people can understand it. It makes sense to me, but not maybe anybody else. Generating text, it can translate from one language to another, if you want to read something that you found. And they use it for, customer service chatbots and translating texts, et cetera, et cetera. So if you're interested in maybe playing with some of this, there's different models you can download, all free. Go ahead and give it a whirl. And let me know how you like it, or if you've used it, or you just find it totally a waste of time. We're good with any of those. So I think that should make the end of this one. And before, I think anybody that's followed along and has had to take a sip of coffee every time I said the word AI has probably been through a couple pots. So let's give these guys a break.
Yep. Sounds good. Yeah, thanks for writing this up, and thanks for running it through the AI to give us a... I said it again.
That's your second pun.
Get some clarity, yes. Okay, and as always, our next episode will be listener feedback. Until then, you can go to our website at goinglinux.com for articles and show notes, as well as links to download and subscribe. We provide the website for computer users who just want to use Linux to get things done.
And if you'd like, you can participate directly with our friendly and helpful community members by joining discussion in our Going Linux podcast community on community.goinglinux.com.
Until next time, thanks for listening.
73.